Testing. One, two. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I didn't know we were having a picnic tonight, so I kind of overdressed. I probably should have read the email they sent me, but it's good to be with you again. It's maybe the third time. Somebody told me it's the third time I've been at Awaken. What is Awaken anyway? What are you waking up to?
Jesus.
Okay, you're waking up to Jesus. Are you in the front row because you know all the answers?
No, I'm short.
All right, you're short, okay. Okay, to be awakened, that's the point. Wow, this is really echoing across the neighborhood. For all those sitting in the deck over there on the other side of the trees, you know, tune in. I want to ask you, let me ask this way. How many of you are from the Archdiocese of Detroit? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you are not? Okay, how many of you have no idea where you're from? Raise your hand. All right, couple people over here. All right. What did the bishop write you a letter recently? How many of you know that the bishop, Archbishop Vigneron, wrote you a letter? You know, he wrote me a letter, said he couldn't. Oh, no. All right. And what was the name of the letter that he wrote you? Something about evangelization. You're close. You're limping on this one, though. I mean, that was so easy, but you were close. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what's it called? Unleash the gospel.
Yeah.
Unleash the gospel. Can I ask you one more question before I really get started? Now, they told me I have till 10:30, all right? Well, I actually only have a half hour. I only have a half hour, so keep your eyes on the clock. What time is it right now?
It's God time.
It's God time. Whoa, don't tell a preacher it's God time. Yeah. The third question is, what is the summer theme for Awaken? What's the theme passage? Grace. Okay, I don't think that's the whole passage, but the words in there. Your grace is enough. What's the passage, Catholics? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And what does it say? My grace is what? Sufficient for you. Are you a Protestant? I mean, he knew that Bible verse just like that. He's a born-again Catholic. Way to go, buddy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, to be awakened, to have the gospel unleashed, how does that actually happen? I mean, I read the bishop's amazing letter. It's the best letter of any bishop in America I've ever read to his people about their mission. It really is. He's hearing the Spirit of God. It's really an act of leadership. He's really leading, and he's leading into the Lord, and it's bold and it's clear. But guess what? How are we going to... She said what? She's my... How old are you, honey? She's six. She's on the ball. What's your name, hon? Juliana. Isn't that beautiful? Let's give Juliana a hand. She had the answer there. But how is that letter going to come alive? How's it going to be something more than just another letter? You know, the popes have written lots of letters, and they're really, really good, right? But what's going to make that letter and the dream that the bishop has in that letter, that he believes is from the Holy Spirit, how's that going to happen? Okay, through you. All right, well, what does that mean, through you? Do you know what's going on in the country? Do you know how hard evangelization is?
Yeah.
Do you know the battle that the church is in?
Yes.
Do you know the battle, the confrontation, the more serious we get about extending the kingdom of God, the more opposition we're going to get? You know that?
Yes.
Are you ready for that?
Yes.
I don't think you have a clue, to tell you the truth. But I like your attitude. It's great. It's great. Because His grace is sufficient, isn't it? His grace is sufficient. The thing I want to share with you tonight, I was before the Blessed Sacrament this morning for an hour praying for you and some time this afternoon. And I feel like the Lord gave me Colossians chapters 1 and 2. I'm not going to read both chapters or preach on it all, but I'm going to touch on some themes from it. Because the key to the bishop's vision and really the Holy Spirit's call, what the vision he cast is said, my dream is that in 20 years, the Archdiocese of Detroit would be a community of joyful missionary disciples. A community of people who are alive to Jesus Christ as Lord. He's at the center of their life. They brought their life under his lordship. When you say disciple, you mean you know who the master is. That you've surrendered your life, you've encountered the person of Jesus Christ, and you've surrendered your life to him. Your time, your talent, your treasure, your whole life, because you've come to understand this is so much more than about religion. Or it's so much more than just a moral or philosophical worldview. It's so much more than just a spiritual journey. This is about encountering a person, Jesus Christ the Lord, and coming under his authority and following him with our whole life. How does that happen? How is it that someone is really willing to respond with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord and give everything to him? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who helps us. And remember what Jesus said when he told all those beautiful parables. One of the parables was the parable of the treasure hidden in a field. What happened there in that parable? A guy's walking in a field. And he comes upon an incredible treasure. I mean, big stuff, gold, treasure, whatever it is, it absolutely blew him away. He hit the super lotto in his world, right? He stumbled upon it. He was amazed at what he saw. He understood the value of what he had encountered and how much more valuable it was than anything else in his life or anything he'd ever seen or he ever imagined. There it was. So what did he do? Catholics, what did he do? Not yet. He did that, but you know what he did first? He took the treasure and he went and hid it in another place in the field. Why? He didn't want anybody else to find it. And because it wasn't his field, it wasn't his treasure. So what did he do? He ran home and he went to Fifth Third Bank. He emptied his account. He called Fidelity. He sold all his stocks. He sold everything. Everything he had, because he beheld something that was of such value and was so amazing, he was willing to give everything to possess it. He was a wise man. He was a smart man. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Like that man who came upon a treasure that he really didn't know existed. He came upon a treasure that he could only imagine. And there it was his. And he was willing to give everything for it. Who's the treasure hidden in a field? Jesus Christ is the treasure hidden in the field. Number one. How many Catholics do you know? How many Catholics do you know who've come upon that treasure and with joy, it says with joy, he went back. Everything he built, everything he owned, everything he valued, his shotgun, his fishing pole, his speedboat, his golf clubs, everything, his football tickets for the Lions, his box seat for the Tigers, right? His tickets for you too. He had all of it. He grabbed it all. And he said, if this is what it's going to cost for me to have that, no problem. Take it all. Because what I've seen is the desire of my heart. What I've seen is the most valuable thing I could ever possess. Okay, how many Catholics do you know who sold everything they had and bought the field? You know what's happening in church today? We're trying to push people and tug people to buy the field before they ever even see the treasure. Do you know what I'm saying? How many of you understand what I'm saying? Raise your hand. Okay, how many say I have no clue? Raise your hand. All right, there's a couple of really honest people here raising their hand. Come on, get in the church. Come on, get behind it. The church is a good place. Keep coming, right? Obey the commandments. Get to church. All that. Doesn't work, does it? It might work on occasion for certain people. People are leaving the Catholic Church today, and they're leaving, many of them are leaving confidently. To heck with all that noise. It's over. It's post-Christian. Right? Plus, the church has so many problems, and I can follow my own bliss. I don't have to be in a church. I can be spiritual wherever I am, right? And they're doing it with confidence because they don't know what they're leaving. It's easy to leave because they never possessed the treasure. They never saw it. They never touched it deeply. They never fell in love with Christ. Right? Yeah, until they get in trouble. Maybe. Now I want to read a couple of verses from Colossians so you don't scratch your head and say, I thought he was going to say something from Colossians, but... But I want you to understand that the treasure that we bear in what kind of vessels? Earthen vessels. If we don't possess it as that treasure, if we don't possess it like this is the most valuable thing in my life, and the best thing that could ever happen in my view is to have every friend I could possibly know, every single friend and family member I know to come to know Jesus Christ, there's nothing better. There's absolutely nothing better for them than that in his church. Is that your passion? Is that your conviction? Is that what you believe? Because the bishop's letter will remain a letter if our hearts are not lit up with that conviction. Right? There's a lot of good Catholics who pray, read the Bible, go to church on Sunday, go to confession on occasion. And they want to be holy and they want to be good. And that's good. But Pope Paul VI said, normal Catholicism means not only praying, not only reading scripture, not only feeding the poor, not only going to mass, but he says the normal Catholic life is a life where every single person looks for opportunities to speak to other people about Jesus, to actually mention in a conversation the J word. You know, that's the normal Catholic life. In fact, he said it's unthinkable that someone would be baptized and that they would not only live the gospel in their life in terms of behavior and these kinds of things, but would not also proclaim it in turn. He said that's unthinkable. Woo. Guys are now saying, who invited this guy? You know, I come out on a Friday night and he's going to make me feel crappy, right? No. It's not normal for us in our experience of growing up in the Catholic Church in our generation to sense the privilege and the call and have a passion and even know what to say to somebody to share with them the pearl of great price and the treasure hidden in the field. Would you agree with me? It feels like a foreign land, doesn't it? Doesn't it scare the heck out of you? Right? You just big chin, you know, we're praying, praise you, God. You're amazing. You know, at nights like this, we love you, Lord. We'll go the distance for you. You're amazing. Lord, I just want to see your kingdom built. I just want someone else to do it. I want your gospel to go forward, but have somebody else younger than me do it. Right? Or somebody who's kind of natural that way, right? You ever had those thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Me too.
But we got to overcome them.
So here's Paul to Colossians. Who are the Colossians? What time? How much time left?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Okay. She said as much as I need.
Yes.
There's the pearl of great price right there. No, I'm kidding. We got Eucharistic adoration coming. So I cannot slow that down. Colossians, who's Paul talking to? He's talking to a young community of Gentile believers, mostly non-Jews. That's you, right?
Yeah.
Young believers,
oh, really?
Gentiles.
Okay, for sure that was me.
Right? And they're new believers. These guys have never met Paul, but one of Paul's disciples went to them from Ephesus to Colossae to preach the gospel, brought them to faith, baptized them, began to build the church with them, right? And then there were agitators on the outside. Some were Jewish people, some were Gnostics and others who tried to say, no, 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 don't believe what you're believing. And their faith started to be shaken. And so then Paul writes them a letter as their spiritual father through the guy that he had raised up a disciple and sent there, right? And so one of the things that we see from the apostles that's so important, it's related to the treasure hidden in the field, is that every single letter they write always begins with the most important thing, which is what? What God has done for us, not what we're supposed to do for God. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I think a lot of times we have the cart before the horse. The most significant thing is to know what God has done for you, because when you know it and you've received it and you believe it and you're done with all the internal battles of does God love me, and oh, I fell and I sinned and I know he doesn't love me, and now I got to go earn his favor and I got to go do stuff to make sure he still likes me and that he still wants to come near to me, and you know, plus I'm a bad person and shame and guilt, and has that ever happened to anybody? Right? All those battles. That's the circle that the enemy wants to keep chasing you in. So you're ineffective, you're a little bit insecure, you're a little bit timid, you feel kind of perpetually slightly guilty, you know what I mean? Let me ask you honestly, anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. So Paul's concerned about that happening. Here's what he says, if I can find it. He writes so beautifully. He says, for I want you to know how greatly I strive for you. He said, I want you, even though you've not seen my face, he said, I want to encourage your heart. And here's how he encourages their heart. As you knit yourselves together in love, to have all the riches of assured understanding. Say those two words with me. Assured understanding. Now, Paul's saying, this is what my biggest concern is for you. What I want to bring to you. I want you to know the riches that come to you when you have a deep assurance inside you. You have a profound understanding of the fundamental things God most wants you to know so that you can be free. What's going to happen when you know that understanding? What he's going to do, God's going to cement your identity. And when you have a clear and strong identity and you're living out of that identity in Christ, you can be fruitful. So here's what he says. All the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. The knowledge of God's mystery. What's in a nutshell, what's God's mystery? What does the Bible say? What does he mean? The mystery. It's Jesus, right? So he goes on to say, I want you to have knowledge of God's mystery of Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. He goes on. He says, I want to make the word of God fully known among you. And if we're going to be what the Archbishop's calling us to be, we've got to become gospel literate Catholics. We have to know the Bible. All the popes keep telling us that over and over again. But look, I travel all over the country all the time. I'm blown away by how little Catholics actually know the Bible. And the saints tell us ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And if I'm ignorant of Christ, I don't know the mystery. I really don't know it in my life, right? Okay, then Paul goes on. He says, to make the word of God fully known in you, he says, that the mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, but now has been made manifest to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles. How many Gentiles are here? Raise your hand. All right. There's probably any Jewish people here? Anybody from Jewish heritage? No, nobody? Okay, a couple people. You and my wife. She couldn't come tonight. She wanted to come. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? It's Christ in you. Christ in you. This is the mystery that's come to the world. That God, the God of heaven, has come to a race of people that are fallen and separated from God, and they've fallen from glory. Sin's nearness to this race of people has provoked God's remoteness, and the whole scripture and all the teaching of the church is clear. We stand separated from God and unable to be united to God, which is why, for God so loved the world, he sent his only Son to become one of us, to take on human flesh. So the apostles would say, hey, what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard, we declare to you. The eternal life that was with God has appeared to us. We're not just talking about commandments. We're not just talking about some kind of religious rituals. We're telling you God has appeared in the flesh. Right? So the mystery is Christ first incarnate in the flesh, becoming one of us. He comes to this fallen race of people. St. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does he come to do? Why did he do that? So he could die on a cross, shed his blood to purify us of all sin of all time on the cross of Jesus Christ, so he could cleanse you. And in cleansing you, what does he do? Why does he want to cleanse you? So that God himself, the spirit that was in Jesus Christ that raised him from the dead, that now is with Christ at the right hand of the Father in glory, in human flesh, Mary's son is reigning in glory at the right hand of God the Father. He's the second Adam, because the first Adam could not enter heaven. Only Christ now in human flesh. He took human flesh to heaven. He took your flesh. He took my flesh, becoming one of us. Now, not no longer destined for separation and food for worms, we are now destined to share in the glory that belongs to God. You don't look convinced. Does that make sense? Honestly. Does it seem confusing? This is what it's all about. God came to dwell in a person, Jesus of Nazareth. And that person gave to God what belongs to God, absolute trust, obedience, and love to the end, even to the point of death. And in that, he destroyed all the powers that are set against us. So there's no more condemnation for you and me. The devil can't hold us any longer. We now have a future, and our future's with him. Our future's in glory. And so what Paul is saying, the mystery, why it's been revealed, it was revealed in Christ. And then Christ poured out his Holy Spirit in you and in me. So Paul says, hey, Catholic, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's what he says. Do you get how amazing you are? I mean, this is not just a Tony Robbins pep talk. I'm talking about the real deal. God has made his home in you. You have a future. This is why Paul says, this is what he's saying very clearly. The riches of God's glory of this great mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? $100? Someone want to come up and preach that for 10 minutes? If you do it well, I'll give you $100. Right? What is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of my life. I have confidence. What did he say? I have assured understanding. I have assurance that comes to me through the gift of hope and the gift of faith. I know where my life is going. Where's it going? It's going to glory. Yes, this getting fatter every day, kind of getting old. My back is killing me like crazy. I can't get it to stop these days. I mean, we're falling apart, aren't we? I mean, you look great, but the rest of us, right, we're battling. And we have all these little struggles and disappointments and, oh man, I wish life was better. I wish I had a different husband. I wish I had, you know, a better car, lived in a better neighborhood, had a better pastor, had more comfortable pews at church, didn't have to go to confession with that guy, blah, 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 whatever it is. I mean, we all find 1,000 things to whine about, don't we? And Paul says, so what about all that stuff, man? You got the treasure, you got the gold. You're going to be dead soon. Now that guy's like, get this dude out of here. I mean, it's like, life is a breath. It's a passing shadow. God's word tells us. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. Right? And you have hope in a world that has lost hope. And the hope is you're bound for glory. We who have fallen from glory by the power of the King. He's sharing with us, it says right here, he's sharing with us his treasure, his inheritance from the Father. He's the firstborn of a new creation. It all belongs to him. He's the Lord of all. He said, God the Father has given me the power to give eternal life to whomever I choose. That's who Jesus is. The hope for the world flows from the person of Jesus Christ. It's not in rules. It's not even in commandments, as important as they are. It's in the person of Christ. That's why he's the treasure hidden in a field. Because all Bill Gates' money ain't going to buy you heaven. Nothing. You can be the smartest, best looking, richest, most popular person on the planet. It will not solve your ultimate problem. The sin problem and the death problem. But Christ stands there in glory in front of the Father with his wounds before the Father, saying, Father, forgive her. Forgive her, Beck. I want to pour out my spirit on him. I want to bring him from death to life. Christianity is new life. That's why it's hope. There's a new life in you. When you go into that dark night all by yourself and you're taken away from your home, the thing we're terrified of, most people, when you die in Christ, you go into that good night. And when you go down into that lonely place, someone's going to come looking for you. As the devil stands to try to condemn you, Jesus is going to say, no, 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 no. She has the mark of baptism, of confirmation. This is my child who gave me her heart and his heart. Come with me. I want to take you home to the Father because that's my mission. That's what the Father sent me to do. And guess what? I'm a faithful son. Not only am I faithful, I got the power to do it. And I'm breathing my life into you so you can come and reign with me in glory forever. Catholic, that's it. Do you get a little glimpse of the treasure? This is why the saints said, oh, baby, when the Lord showed it to them, they ran. I mean, some of those saints had been in royal families. Some of them had been powerful backgrounds. Once they tasted Christ, once they realized who Christ was, they said, you can have my crown. It's a joke. It's nothing. He is what I want. I want him. And I want to die for him. I want to live for him. I want to love what he loves. That's what I want to do. And then you get on your knees and you beg the Lord, Lord, teach me. Like St. Francis used to pray these prayers all the time. Two prayers before the crucifix. Jesus, who are you? And who am I? Because I don't know who I am apart from you. All wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding is in you. I'm a fool. I still worship idols, Lord. I still sell out for stuff that's worthless. I still chase after distractions like pornography and drugs and stupid stuff. I watch TV 100 hours a week. I'm perpetually involved in video games night and day. I have no idea who I am. I have no idea the battle my king is fighting on this earth in the pursuit of eternal souls. Do you get it? Okay, I better end with a story. I probably went too long already. Now, if you want to follow the archbishop, count the cost, because it's going to cost, but it's awesome. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the... Say with me, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. A little louder, Catholics. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, right? Say with me, I am. Chosen and destined to live for the praise of his glory. What's my purpose? I am chosen and destined to live for the praise of his glory. That's from first chapter of Ephesians. How many have ever heard of Divine Renovation, the book Divine Renovation? There's a parish in Canada, a good friend of mine is the pastor, or was the pastor of, Brother James Mallon. And he worked hard the last 10 years of bringing his parish from kind of a nominal, sort of plateaued, not very fired up parish, which is a lot of parishes in Canada just like that, from maintenance to mission. I just want to give you an example of one story. I was out there a couple times for parish missions. I was out there last year, and he introduced me to somebody he told me about for a while. They were committed to saying, we're going to have a parish of community, a community of missionary disciples. We're going to have a parish. We'll do everything we can to have a parish where every single Catholic is biblically literate and every single Catholic is engaged the mission of Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost, the Great Commission. We're going to step over that threshold of fear that we as Catholics have, and we're going to start reaching out to people. So one of the things they did was, well, in order for that to happen, people have to come alive in their faith. So they used a simple tool, Alpha, for them was to introduce people to Jesus, right? And so many people came to the Lord. One little lady, an Indian lady, a lady from India who was about, I don't know, she must have been almost 60 years old. She said, she used to come, I heard her testimony. She was just beautiful, a little tiny. She used to come to church right before Mass started and sat in the very back row in the corner. And then as soon as, like, before the final song was over, she was out the door. Because essentially she didn't like people very much. I mean, she didn't want to talk, you know. And she was kind of shy and insecure and all that. Nice lady, in the business world, actually. But so Father Malin asks her, because he's always asking people to come to Alpha if they need a kind of awakening. And he said, do you want to go? And she goes, no, Father, I don't want to do that because I don't like small groups. Because you get close to people and you got to talk to them, you know. And I feel uncomfortable, you know. He goes, okay, but, you know, I think if you came, I think the Lord would bless you. She goes, no. So and he asked her again another time. And then she showed up and he said, Father, I'm going to go. So she goes to this Alpha course. And she goes the first and second session, first two classes. And the next Sunday she saw him. She goes, Father, I'm not going anymore. And he said, okay, how come? She goes, I told you, you have to talk. And you like have to be close to people. And it's just like, I don't like that. He goes, okay. I mean, if that's what you want. But I think if you stick it out, the Lord has a blessing for you maybe. Well, he didn't realize it because he wasn't leading it. But she stuck it out. Okay. And the Lord lit her up. He set her heart on fire. She fell in love with Jesus Christ. She moved from, I'm a churchgoer, and I check off the list, to someone who met the King, and that woman bought the field. Okay? She herself, in the last 4 years, has invited 200 people to Alpha. This shy, insecure woman. 200! 35 of the 200 actually came. And she accompanied them. Isn't that amazing? That's a heart that fell in love. That's a heart who understands the game. One of the guys that she evangelized gave a testimony. It was an old truck driver, hadn't been to church in 35 years. Right? And got invited to come. And he got up and he just was classic, wonderful blue-collar guy, just rough as can be. Lots of beer in him over the years and lots of, you know, cigars and everything under the sun. Hadn't been in the church for many, many years. And he said, he got in front of everybody. He goes, I got to tell you why I went to Alpha. Because of her. And he pointed to her. He goes, she lives on my block. 6 times this woman asked me to go. And I said no every time. And I'm not joking. He said, I sat down one night and I thought, you know, she's such a sweet lady. But I got to be honest, she's driving me nuts. And he said, I got a choice to make. Either I say yes to her or I move out of the neighborhood, he said, because she's coming back. I know it. He goes on the Alpha, and the Lord absolutely transformed his heart. And here's this guy in tears, standing up, just big. And he said, I owe her everything. I didn't know. I didn't know how much God loved me. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know who I was. I was just aware of all the sins I committed. And the reason I haven't been to church in 35 years is I was afraid to come, basically, you know, because of all the bad stuff I've done all my life. Man, did I have that wrong? I owe her everything. They've done over 25 different alphas. They've brought hundreds of people back to the church. This little tiny parish. Father Mal called me up a couple months ago. He said, hey, Peter. He said, we just finished our recent Alpha. We had 149 people on it. 49%, that's after 20 of them. He said, 49% of those 149 people were completely unchurched. No church background. And he said, none of our staff, none of our priests, nobody led it. It was all the teach. Everything was done by people who went, normal parishioners who went through Alpha themselves years ago. And they're bringing people into the church. He said, it's fantastic. We got more baptisms. We got more marriages getting, what do you call it? Renewed or whatever it is. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? They found a way, and they were confident that God has given us enough grace to take on whatever's out there. It's time for the church to come alive, but it's only going to be able to reach the world when your heart is in love, when you are free from your fears. Well, the Holy Spirit will help us all do that because we're all a little scared. But we're not dominated by our fears and our insecurities and our self-condemnation, right? All that stuff that's in there, self-limitation. The Holy Spirit is going to free you of that as you understand who you are in Christ. Because, friend, you are the hope of the world. Why? Because the mystery is hidden in you. What's the mystery that needs to be made known? Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the joy of your life. It's the source of your security. It's the source of your identity. It's what gets you up in the morning. It's what lets you pass through sickness and disease and getting fired and disappointments and all the stuff of life. You can handle that when you know who you are and where you're going. Because you know it's all going to be over soon. So don't let the devil distract you with all that little stuff, as big as it is. The king's got a hold of you, and he's going to bring you home to the glory of the Father. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's stand up and end with a little prayer, and then whoever's in charge will take it from there. Okay? All right. Before we do that, turn to someone next to you and say, you're chosen.
You're chosen.
All right. Turn to the other side and say, you're chosen.
You're chosen.
Yeah. Tell them you're glorious. Look in someone's eyes and say, wow, you're full of glory. And I know half you are saying, no way could that be true, man. Not that guy. Right? Because that's the truth. And the more we know who we are, the more the devil's going to run. Because we are not going to be scared. We're not going to be afraid. So let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to let the words of St. Paul be our prayer tonight as I close from Ephesians chapter 1. His passion and his prayer for you. He said, I pray that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's praying that God would give you revelation. Friends, beg God for revelation of Jesus. He said, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what's the immeasurably great power in us who believe? If you get that revelation of Christ, if you hunger for it, he's going to give it to you. And when that happens, the immeasurable greatness of his power is going to come alive in you and in us as a body. And we're going to be able to do what we need to do in the Archdiocese of Detroit to live that vision that the Holy Spirit has given to the church here in the Archdiocese. Amen. If you believe it, say amen and amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you, brothers. Don't forget about there's a walk, march tomorrow. It's a walk. Where's it at, Father? What parish? St. where? St. Andrew? St. Andrew's Parish tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Okay, there's going to be lots of men walking 2 miles at the Blessed Sacrament, a great witness. My wife's waiting for me, so I got to sneak home. I can't be with you the rest of the night, but I just wanted to say thank you so much. It's been great to be with you. God bless you and this whole team, okay?
God bless you.
Okay.